Eno Hall, please be seated.
Well, thank you for covering that, Mr. Page. Okay, so just let me plug in my PC. No doubt, as party, council would have told you we've got the got the opinion back from Dr. Somerville. And before I tell you what his key findings are and a potential other legal issue that comes out of them, I want to say, and you need to bear this in mind, that we've got a potential workaround from the priorities issue, which we think as a panel is at least worth bringing to you. Not that we've written up anything, but we think it's an idea which is worthy of consideration. So I want you to keep that in mind, all right? And but it's at the moment where we're sitting is that it's a workaround for Marahere Kia and Tairi. We don't know enough about the other catchments which are potentially impacted on 1 October, though quite helpfully the witnesses, you know, planners in the priorities conference has actually narrowed down, you know, the catchments under consideration in terms of who's exposed to the risk. All right. So, Dr. Somerville's, which I haven't brought with me. Have you got a copy of that? Yes. Oh, thanks. Okay, so we'll hand that out at when we finish. But Dr. Somerville concludes, deemed permits are a creature of statute that finally expire on the 1st of October. Secondly, on an application for resource consent to replace a deemed permit, the right of priority cannot continue to be exercised after it has finally expired on the 1st of October 2021. Rights of priority cannot be recognised in the provisions of PC7 if they have ceased to have any effect on enactment of the RMA and or deemed permits finally expire on the 1st of October 2021. So this is significant, and this was an issue that we've been alive to for some period of time, and don't know whether the parties are alive to the rights of priority not continuing under a 1-2-4 basis. So they expire is the opinion of Dr. Somerville. Now, he'll present his opinion hopefully Tuesday, and you may have different opinions. I mean, that's why you're coming back, okay? But it's a significant risk to holders of those rights. It's not a risk, as far as I can tell, which is addressed by simply rejecting the plan change. If you have a vehicle to work on your risk, it is PC7, or it's central government, or it's both. And that's the other reason for obtaining the opinion. There is another risk which we have not invited Dr. Somerville to express an opinion, and at this stage aren't thinking that we will. And the risk is, when you read his opinion, the risk is actually deemed permits do not proceed under section 124. So we've got worse and worse, but we've got a possible solution for our worse. Now, we don't think we need to go to the second risk, because there are actually arguments that we can see for and against that proposition. But on the D, the rights of priority don't continue to exist after, you know, don't continue under section 124 and don't continue after the 1st of October, we have a possible workaround. It does rather depend a lot on just how well those water user groups, if I can just use it as a generic term, are holding together now and going forward in the future. So it depends on the strength and integrity of those groups. The solution for, or a potential solution for Marahere Kia is this, that as a condition of entry under the controlled or RDA rules, the permit, the applications for permits are to proceed on the basis of the minimum flows at Falls Dam, Ophir and at the campsite. That is because several witnesses have told us that there is a whole of catchment management approach taken, predicated on the adherence to those flows. Two are secured by resource consent, one is secured by voluntary agreement, but that is neither here nor there. It appears that the whole of catchment indeed takes in all of the tributaries. It's just not a main stem management, it's all of the tributaries. That's what we've been told, so that's why we're putting forward this as a solution. So say again, entry conditions, adherence to those flows. Those flows will probably be set out in a schedule attached to the plan change. Now, either evidence was right or wrong, but we've been pressing into that to understand what the correct position is. That, if you like, will mimic the arrangements which the catchment have entered into to overcome the problems of priorities and to ensure that everyone has an opportunity to take water in declining flows. So it's just reflecting back the community zone arrangements. It's a regulatory approach, and so that there may be some that would prefer the region to stay out, but what are your, you know, unless you've got a legal argument to counter Dr. Somerville, what are your options? You know, you need to do something to step over this from the 1st of October. So, you know, we're not looking at a whole of catchment. It's a risk. You're now on risk from the 1st of October. I don't think, even if the court were to go with the idea of 20-year consents or 35-year consents under PC7, you won't have them processed by that date. So, you know, so anyway, that's why we've suggested at Tairi we think a similar solution also exists. So what we were told about Tairi was that there are minimum flows in the second schedule, and that people on the main stem and in tributaries are managing their takes, again via water sharing, by water groups, from minimum flow to minimum flow. It seemed to differ from Marahitikia, in as much as, and I can pull those, you know, I can pull the flows out, but it seemed to be a far, instead of a whole of main stem, whole of catchment approach, it seemed to be far more localised between two minimum flows. And we thought trips entering into that. So it's a slight variation, but we thought, that's all voluntary as far as we understand it, but we thought again, if it got you over your hump of 1st of October, that would be, and parties are doing that anyway on a voluntary basis, that actually could provide you something on a firmer footing going forward. And again, that's a schedule basis, so slightly different from Marahitikia. We don't know what to do about Loban. Loban's not actually flow sharing because there's water. And so it may be that the DEM consents expire, and that's okay because they seem to be taking water whenever it is available. They seem to be taking it. So maybe Loban's not a problem. It expires. And then Carrick, Bannockburn, Bannockburn's also one of those groups. And I haven't read the transcript from Mr. Parcell, so, and I've forgotten what he said, if he said anything, about managing collectively the resource. Do they, you know, have they all come into a group? Are they all working to a flow somewhere, or flows on multiple races? I haven't read it. And then there were some other smaller water bodies as well. So, Arrow and Cadrona, I think, are in your list, and no sense whatsoever of what we... I have no sense whatsoever of what people are doing in the Arrow and on the Cadrona, either in a catchment, sub-catchment sense. It's, I was just blind to what's actually going on there. So with that in mind, where we don't have any information, the question is, can we get information? And then, and to do something which is not, you know, if it exists already, then bring it into a schedule, not just in a similar way to Tairi and also the Manahita Care. Or if it does not exist, then to pick up as an idea, something that I floated in terms of looking at matters appearing under, matters of discretion, I think they are appearing under the operative regional plan rule, which one at least the planners thought had merit, but expanding on that for as a matter of discretion or matter of matters of discretion and on the conditional activity rules, what's that called? The matter of control, that's right, yeah. The matter of control, matter of discretion on those two rules, having a look at any proposal brought to the table again by a catchment or sub-catchment for sharing flows. Because they may be there and I don't know anything about them, or it may be that you'll be able to get them out of parties and that they can bring them forward into the plan in a more regulated way. It's not an invitation for the regional council to get in and on the ground and start creating minimum flows or anything. What it is responding to what appears now to be a significant risk for many permit holders in the central Otago. So that's all we're doing. We are not recreating, or not attempting in any way to put a minimum flows or even turn our mind to the environmental outcome of those minimum flows. I think that would be a really big task. Now, it may be that some of that information is already known because you've got the applications in for those catchments, and so you already know what's actually proposed. But that could be by way of a minimum flow with environmental outcome, and that may also be contingent on an upscale of infrastructure. I don't know. So we're sort of not looking at that level. We're looking at now what is currently happening now whilst those deemed permits continue to exist. So I'm going to post, I don't know whether any of that is of interest, but that's my best thinking overnight. We need to post that opinion from Dr. Somerville, and that may very well be quite distressing for many people. Very distressing for many people. So the question is, how do you want to handle that in terms of speaking into the communities who are impacted by that? They were already under enough stress, as they're under enough stress in front of this court, let alone, you know, reading the other things which are now happening, reported on in the ODT this morning. So it needs careful management. Really careful management, communication. So looking at you, Mr. Page, because I think you're the only one who's got reach at the moment into that community.
Yes. Mm. Well, I'll be grateful to have the opportunity to receive the opinion and get it out this afternoon via email with some explanation. They will understand that it's one piece of advice that's coming to the court and it doesn't bind anyone.
No,
it
doesn't.
It's just a point of view. Mm. Having said that, I think people know of Dr. Somerville's status in the profession, so it needs serious consideration, and they'll understand that.
Mm.
As to your suggestions, I'll need to take some advice about that. I can certainly see how something of the kind you're explaining may well work for Manahita Care. Tairi, I'm less sure about. But on the other hand, it might matter less. So
yeah, although you've got, as I understood it, 70% of the water, is it by volume, has been already reallocated.
Yes.
30% remains for allocation, but it actually involves a large number of small, or a large number of perhaps small takes, was what I think
yes.
I heard yesterday. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'll need to think about how that works. Mm. But there, as you said, there are big chunks of the catchment that are reconsented, and none of this matters to them. And also, in terms of compliance with minimum flows, the top two are largely managed already through other permits that aren't subject to tow. So it may not matter.
May not matter.
But I don't know that for sure. So I will find out.
And, you know, in saying that it may not matter, it's like, you know, there's a bunch of individuals who you'll have to bring on board with the may not matter idea. It may matter to the individual. I don't know. Look, I don't know. We've tried our hardest to understand exactly how this economy, that's what I said in the first and second, it seems to be an economy out here, a market out here is actually working. We've got somewhere in some instances, but nowhere in others, so I don't know.
Yeah. Mm. And a lot of that's tied up in complicated family histories too.
Probably.
No, I'm sorry.
No. Yeah. So there we are. So that was my thinking overnight and I'm hoping that at least in two catchments that might advance things from the JWS, which of course doesn't actually do any drafting for me, so that of itself is actually going to be a bit of a challenge, you know, landing that. But anyway, I thought it a worthy workaround, worthy of consideration, yep. And if it was worthy there, it may be worthy elsewhere.
It's conceptually attractive, and I can certainly see that it would work in Manahirakia. I just don't know enough about the detail for those other catchments, and that may require me to do a bit of combing through the evidence and just to
don't
see what's
know you're going
to
find it. I mean, not that I've got a foolproof memory, I don't, but you know, I don't know that you're going to find it.
And it may be, however, that because there is the existing planning framework around water management committees and things, that maybe that's something that can be incorporated back into Plan Change 7 and provides a mechanism to match your concept with the current framework to take that forward.
So that was the other thinking that I had, was perhaps a more nuanced approach being taken than what I had previously suggested, and just bringing forward the matters of condition, you know, the matters of discretion on an RDA rule under the operative plan, really trying to get people to bring to the table what their flow sharing regime looks like, in the same way as Manahirakia, if it's worked up like that, even if it's informally worked up like that, so at least it could be considered.
And I also see an advantage in that, Your Honour, because going forward into the new land and water plan process, we're going to have to be thinking in terms of freshwater management units and subunits within that. So actually people are going to have to start thinking in terms of catchment approach anyway. So this is a way of perhaps a soft entry to that way of thinking if people aren't there already.
I mean, I am reading the deeming permit, JWS this morning, and planners seem to be falling back on, it's not formal. It's like, it may not be, but it seems to be working pretty well out there. So something's working out there which could be brought forward in an application. So that was the real fallback. We've got a fallback. We could do something better in terms of a schedule, maybe, if that's got merits. And, of course, then you've got, you know, don't want to overcomplicate things, but who's in the tent, who's out? So in the tent in Tairi, you've got quite a... I presume every, you know, the 70% reconsented are all on those minimum flows?
No. What the council has done is indicated that when the reconsenting is complete, that the minimum flows will be imposed on all of the permits on a whole of catchment basis. Because otherwise, at the present time, you would have part of the catchment on
some
minimum
on,
flows
some
and half, some on, some off.
Yep.
And there would be inequities around how that works. So
But nevertheless, they're doing this voluntarily, yes. Was the evidence. So either that evidence is to be given weight.
Yes. Well, to take Kyburn as an example, that the Tiriviti minimum flow doesn't bite yet, but the residuals on the trips do. Mm. So in effect, the regime is in place because, of course, those residuals are designed to ensure that the minimum flow is not breached. Mm. So indirectly, many of them are operating in that way.
And I... And that's sort of the step. I haven't thought about, you know, in the Kyburn example, Kyburn works because it's got a residual, but then again, Kyburn's also trying to do something for the environment. And that's why I've kept it pretty high level, you know, on Manahiri Care. It's just those three. That's really high level. Not sure how that responds to the environment. Obviously, that's the debate in the ODT, but I'm not bothered by that. I don't think that's the problem that we have to solve. We have to... The thing with the plan change is to keep farmers... on their water for at least a short period of time, and then of course there's the debate around that, but at least a short period of time.
I understand that. So, it'll take some thinking through, but there's the kernel of an idea there that may need to be developed.
Good, okay. So you've always got the problem of the tent and who's in and who's out, and you know, I can't solve that. The region solves that by doing a review. The question for the court is, how does it keep the integrity of the current farming systems, which are predicated on the exercise of those priorities, continuing? And so that was my thoughts overnight.
Written down simply, Your Honour, is what's the mechanism that best reflects the status quo in bringing that forward.
Yeah.
So we'll reflect on the suggestions that you've helpfully made.
Yeah.
But again, I think conceptually it's about how do we capture what's happening on the ground currently without simply saying we'll just bring down the priorities, because that's not going to work.
Look, Dr. Somerville's clear. Yep. It's not. You're not doing that. So you can't do that. They'll expire. And I know that you might have a contrary view, and you can give me that. And I've been known to disagree with Dr. Somerville, and he with me. So So don't think that it's done. But I wouldn't have been asking these questions of Dr. Somerville unless I had a serious concern for the region. Yep. And so that's why we've done it. It's not the... PC7's not the only recourse. But anyway, in the meantime, I've got to keep on working on what I can work on. Yep. All right. Any other questions?
Yes. The second issue of risk in terms of Section 124, I didn't quite catch whether you were going to or not going to.
I'm not going to. That would just
right.
be...
Thank
the,
you.
That I'm just saying that there is a... I'm indicating that there is an argument which could be taken, and I'm not going to take it.
I'm
not going to take it.
That's helpful.
Yep.
Thank you.
So again, it's another element of risk, but it's not something that I think I need to deal with if I can deal with it in other ways.
Very good. Now, I had some matters of housekeeping, if we've finished this topic.
Just want to note, so I was going to release the minute in the end-of-day dispatches. I'll release the opinion in the end-of-day dispatches, just so you know, unless you want me to release it tomorrow morning. I'll give you guys a copy.
The thought that occurred to me was whether something like a one-day embargo for perhaps for Mr. Page to get his thinking organised prior to communication out to the rural community might assist.
That's the thing that I'm concerned about is the impact on communities through uncertainty, particularly if there's a workaround that could, for many, help.
Yes. Well, I need to get that out this evening, and it would be good if the parties had the opportunity to see that before everybody else did, and phones started running red hot.
You'll get it now.
I'm grateful for my friend's suggestion of an embargo, at least to the morning anyway.
At least to the morning?
Yes.
Okay. And then I wasn't, just because I haven't written anything, I wasn't going to write anything around it in terms of is there a workaround, unless you want me to write something around it, but I haven't actually put down my thoughts.
Yes.
And again, it's kind of, it's almost a problem for lawyers, not for me. But well, I don't know.
Yes.
I'll do whatever helps because I know people are under massive stress.
Just a question: are we in chambers or in open court?
We're in open court, but I don't have load. I don't have to load the. I don't have to uplift the transcript.
No. I mean, the fact that we're having this discussion in open court means that I can convey to my clients that the court is minded about the difficulties of it and interested in exploring whether there's a workaround.
Absolutely.
And that's a message I can send.
You can, yeah, absolutely. And you can send it that we have thought about a workaround that at least has some attraction to us, has to be landed. You really do have to put your best policy people on it, though. Can't stress that enough, you know. You have to put your best policy planners now on this drafting if it has merits.
Mm.
Yeah. Because there's quite a bit of drafting coming out of the piece, you know, the JWS. Anyway.
Yes. Mm. So should we be alerting the planners that we're calling to the need to be thinking about this for when they're going to be appearing next week?
Absolutely.
To present the JWS.
Yeah. Definitely. You might want to do that.
Yes.
You have to think about the timing of that. It's just a question of timing. We'll give you the opinion. We'll upload it tomorrow, and you know, tomorrow morning. That'll give you time to talk to your client base.
Sorry, Your Honour, just on the planning caucus next week, I do have a constraint with Mr. Brass. He has some health appointments which he must attend on Monday and Tuesday morning, so he's not going to be available until Tuesday afternoon, and that means that effectively I can't see him having the time to consider this matter until Tuesday afternoon or perhaps tomorrow. I'm sorry about that, Your Honour. We'd anticipated that he was going to be available, not going to be required until Thursday, but of course now it's turned into Tuesday.
I'm not quite sure. I mean, it's no direction for the court. I mean, I really don't mind when these things are done. I think the only problem for me today was, you know, thinking I could lift and shift the TAs so we could actually have a clear run at this, but that didn't find favour amongst my colleagues. So. You know, because we've got to land that somewhere. I don't mind what day you do it. I know that I haven't actually spoken to Dr. Somerville about his opinion or about the implications of his opinion, but Dr. Somerville has emailed me to say that in fact he's available all next week. So there's no time constraints from us.
All right, thank you, Your Honour.
So it really probably just a case of talking to Mr. Cooper about when best to do it. Monday we're not here anyway, so that made that one easy.
Yes, it's just as I say, Mr. Brass, unfortunately Monday and Tuesday morning he is otherwise engaged.
Yeah. And so, you know, again, if we're thinking about these ideas, how that might be shaped or landed, or I mean, I don't even know whether people can draft or should be drafting, or you know, if it has merit it needs to be drafted. You have to be thinking about the timing of that, getting it into court, if the risk is a real risk, as my sense of it is at the moment, but I haven't heard counsel sense of it as it is a real risk, then we need to be turning our decision out really quickly, you know, to give people a chance to do whatever they want. And again, that then, you know, I don't know how that looks, because there's other decisions. There's the long-term consent decision, there's the fish and game decision, there's the toes decision, you know. So, again, you're going to have to be landing something. If you've got to get a decision out and people apply to preserve their position going forward, even if it's just for a short time.
I have a question about protocol and communicating with the amicus. I don't know what...
I don't know what the protocol is either. So,
no. I mean, speak with Dr. Somerville.
He's the
most
friend of
week.
The court, yeah.
Well, yes, he's also a valuable client. So, as a Chancellor of the University, I'm just wanting to make sure that there isn't anything around how I would communicate with any counsel for a party in the proceeding, whether that's the court's expectation that Dr. Somerville is available.
He's available to ask questions. Whether he's available to ask questions before next week, I don't know, because somebody has to pay his bill.
That's not insignificant consideration of it.
Probably should put a non-publication order across that copy. Yeah. So that's the issue, and you know, and insofar as I think there's another issue tucked away there, I thought, well, I'm not actually going to talk to him about that.
Yes, and so does he have a continuing instruction from the court, or is his function apart from next Tuesday morning effectively now complete?
Effectively now complete. Yeah, I was not going to go back to him and talk to him about the implications of his opinion. Another issue which might come out of his opinion, because that one is actually quite debatable.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay. No, thank you.
Right. All right. What, were you all going to phone him and say? Yeah.
The debatability of that issue that I was smiling at, Ms. Mallett. We have had
You're debating
long
this issue
debates
too?
About
Does it,
that
is
issue.
There a deemed consent? Is there a...
Is it protected under... in terms of the protection under 124.
So it's not even the deemed condition, it's actually the deemed... Yeah, I know. That's always been... So that's the monster.
Yes.
That's the elephant in the room, that one.
Room.
And I thought, well, we won't go there. We'll just deal with the next worst-case scenario.
Yes.
The second worst-case scenario, so that's what we're dealing with. I think it's debatable.
Yes.
And I think it's debatable because of... 143 subsection 3 and 124. Yep. And I think you can have arguments flowing each way on that one.
Yes, and that would certainly reflect the work and the thinking that has been occurring to date, at least at our end on that.
Sorry?
That would reflect the thinking and the discussions and the debates that we've been having on that topic. So,
yeah. But, you know, the desire is not to turn everybody off, but to keep everybody
Correct.
On. So, and hence the workaround thinking over the night. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Housekeeping.
Some housekeeping matters. So, casting ahead to next week, the first item I have on the list is what to do with Mr. De Pelsmaker's supplementary evidence. So, he's filed supplementary evidence in response to the territorial authorities' further evidence.
Yeah.
I had not anticipated that Mr. De Pelsmaker would be cross-examined on his supplementary next week on that point, but rather he would be available for both the court's questions and cross-examination in the final week of the hearing in reply.
Well, that's one way of doing it, yep.
Because otherwise he's, in a sense, having to respond early to a case, whereas he hasn't had to respond early to a whole lot of other cases.
Yes.
And it may well be that his thinking continues to evolve in that space after we've heard from the TAs whenever we get to them next week. So he's filed, in a sense, to assist the court in terms of what I've described as preliminary thinkings on the issues, but I hadn't expected that he would be crossed on that next week. His name was on the schedule, though, so I was just wanting
So do you have a... I know it's Ms. Irving's client, but do you have a view on that? That just it seems to be convenient that I guess you pick up on that supplementary as part of his review, you know, his reply evidence, and deal with it there.
Yeah, well, I think what my friend suggests makes sense, because I'm told that there is a problem with two of the TA's witnesses on Thursday. and so we've got three that are available on Thursday, but two that are not.
And how many witnesses are we going to get? I thought we had about three.
Five.
No. You've got Mr. Twos.
Yes.
And then you've got a couple of...
Three others, isn't it?
Do we? I thought we only had... Mr. Heller's not available. Well, he's not anticipated that he's coming back. And then you've got a couple... Two more.
I've got Mr... Ms. Muir, Ms. McGurr, Mr. Twos. Just supplementary, but we had Mr. Patterson, the economist, held over. And then Mr. Lantham is noted as providing a representation for CODC only.
Oh, okay. All right, well, maybe you're right, five. And CODC didn't actually respond, or somebody was sick and couldn't respond anyway to the court's questions, so that would be good if they could. I don't know who that was, whether it was Tom Heller or somebody else. We got a bit of a blank.
That's the Clutha district.
Yeah, I think so.
yes, no, I'm aware of that situation. And I'm aware of the situation that they didn't respond and couldn't, but not why.
I think it was illness was my sense of it, but I might be wrong.
Yeah.
I have to confess, I still haven't read it. Because, I just haven't had time with focusing on
it. I understand that.
Anyway, you've got...
I've got a problem.
You've got a problem. And was the idea that you get set down for Thursday, was it?
They were originally going to be here for Tuesday.
Yeah.
And that was fine.
Mm.
Now, for good reason, Tuesday doesn't work for the court. But Thursday works for three witnesses and not two.
Okay. Why does Tuesday work for the court?
I understand you wanted to hear from Dr. Somerville on Tuesday.
I've got no view. Dr. Somerville said he was available Tuesday, but he said he's available every day of the week, so, we're flexible.
Okay, well, I'm running out of knowledge at this point.
Okay, so am I, so that's a bit, But anyway, he texted me to say he was, so I think he is. Yeah.
The issue might well be Mr. Sinclair and his unavailability.
Yes, actually, it could be the special advisor. Yep.
Mm.
Actually, no, that's true. All right, is that right, Glenn? It is. So it's Mr. St. Clair's... In that case, you probably want Dr. Somerville going first to present that opinion.
Yes.
And then you probably want priorities dealt with in terms of the jaded, the planners coming back on Tuesday. And if we did that...
Brass is the...
Constraint.
Brass is the constraint. Okay. But he can go in the afternoon.
Well, that's what I was going to suggest, Your Honour, is that Mr. Brass can go in the afternoon. Mm. It's just that he wouldn't be able to appear together with Mr. De Pelsenmaker and Ms. Dicey in the morning if we get to them in the morning. That's the only issue.
Is he was jointly presenting.
Yes.
He was. Well.
And to what extent that matters?
Possibly. Well, we just might have to await. Till after lunch.
Just after lunch. Yeah, that's right. Mm. Yeah, we'll just have a late start.
Your Honour, just a constraint on Mr. Sinclair. He's catching a flight back to Wellington. I think he's got on 5 PM, so he needs
to... Okay. Oh, that's not helpful. Mr. Sinclair, is he only available Tuesday?
Yes, Your Honour, he's in a hearing in front of the recent...
Oh, okay. All right.
Do we know precisely what time Mr. Brass?
Mr. Brass is available after 1, so it's through to 1 o'clock that he's unavailable. So that's why I was saying he's not available in the morning, but he is in the afternoon.
Then maybe you just proceed with that special advisor, but I can't stress enough the importance of getting really good crafting if there is... if you want to go in that direction, or any direction, actually, on a response to priorities.
Mm. Yes, the optimist in me suggests that the time tomorrow and Monday, plus the intervening backup work days of Saturday and Sunday... that phrase doesn't often find favour with my colleagues. That gives us a window of opportunity to actually reflect on that and to start thinking about drafting collectively.
Is it possible to land it? And even, again, you're going to have to do that Section 32 analysis and all that kind of business. But even if it's not perfect, if there was merit and everyone was generally bored, then to present that so we can say, we'll go ahead with that, but now you've got some more time to finish the drafting.
Mm. Okay, well, we will work on that.
Mm-hmm.
So staying with next week's schedule, a brief of evidence has been filed from Dr. Snelder or is about to be filed.
Yeah.
Today,
was it?
Today. it has been finalised and is ready to file. Are you anticipating that Dr. Snellwater would be called to produce that report?
I think that's what I said in the minute, that he would, and then he could be available for any questions. We've had Dr. Olson, he was his counterpart, or well, not really his counterpart, but I don't know. He's available for questions, and I also said, reminded everybody, now is the time for final requests, you know, directions. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I haven't seen it. I don't know what's in it. But if you need to reply, you need to say.
Mm. No, that's in order. Mm-hmm. We'll check his availability and make sure he's scheduled for some point next week.
Well, Tuesday morning sounds like a good time to have him, maybe. Depends on whether people have got questions for him.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the only other witness we could slot into the Tuesday morning would be Mr. Curran on the dams, because he's yet to be heard, but we might need a while with him.
Well, didn't he? There was the other witness that we had, two of the list.
Yes, now yes,
so
you'll see
more than one piece
Mr.
of work to
come
go
back,
on, wasn't
yeah. Yes. You may need some reading time on some of that information, but the joint memorandum of council will be filed at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning addressing those matters.
So this is the issue thing?
Yes.
Issue.
Yes.
That's at 9 o'clock tomorrow.
Yes, and that's also going to flag the basis or the mechanism by which to get that evidence into the court, which we discussed yesterday.
Mm.
Now, this
is the recall of Mr. Sheehan.
Yes.
Yep. And then you've got to call Mr. Curran. Yep.
Yes. So that'll need to be scheduled, and we'll... We'll figure out a time for that, but possibly later in the week. Mm. The next item on the list is cross-examination of witnesses for next week.
Mm.
Now, there's a little bit of uncertainty as to precisely how that is anticipated to work.
Mm.
And there's a question as to whether parties are to be giving, I think they're directed to issue cross-examination notices on Friday, but there's some uncertainty as to whether or not witnesses needed first to indicate whether they wanted to respond to some of the content in the joint witness statement or not, or whether the court's anticipating that each witness would be called back sequentially following the presentation of the joint witness statements and the impanelling of the witnesses.
Well, I thought they were going to present, particularly on the schedule. I mean, that's the major items.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly present on the schedule and the controlled and RD rules, because that, you know, we've got broad agreement, we should have that, and then there's some decisions for the court to make. As we emphasised to Mr. Cooper this morning, we weren't particularly interested, aside from Hydro and community saying, yeah, the schedule looks good for them, we weren't interested in them presenting on those rules. I think that's actually to take up the purpose of the presentation, which is to clearly speak into the primary sector. What is the initiative here?
Yes.
And then, not sure how you're going to handle that, but then to, at least at that point, to jointly impanel every, maybe technical then planning, or maybe technical and planning on the schedule, with the parties to ask whatever questions. So that's the cross-examination notice. Whatever
right.
questions you've got. Because just because we... planners like it doesn't mean to say that the lawyers like it, so that's
I have some questions.
You've got some
around
questions.
The drafting.
Well, we've got questions around the drafting.
I had envisaged that we would, so the presentation will come first, and then we will jointly impanel, there are quite a few potentially, but we would jointly impanel perhaps the, I was going to say the planners in terms of speaking to the changes. I had envisaged I might then lead out of them the differences between the two different camps, so to speak, and there may be some individuals who weren't in either camp who may wish to say something, but that would be the forum or the platform for them to respond. And then having led that evidence perhaps the court might answer some questions followed by questions from counsel, or the other way around.
Or the other way around, yeah. And I think you did something very similar on Southland.
Yes.
We were reluctant to sort of do all of the questioning, and then you did the open-ended questioning.
Yes.
And that worked out really well. Yeah.
That's the sort of thing we'd
imagine. And, you know, in counsel asking questions, we thought, you know, well, that's probably by way of... Maybe yours are more open-ended.
Correct,
than, you know, as you're trying to
more careful
the differences.
In terms of teasing out just differences.
Yeah, and then but there may be cross-examination from other lawyers.
Yes.
And so to that extent, we just needed to know who's going to be in the room so we could manage the time.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's hence the cross-examination notices. That's the purpose of it.
Right, so that's helpful. So that, I think, may help Mr. Cooper with his scheduling in terms of understanding whether we need each witness to come back, and then we don't by the sounds.
Well, yeah, and I think Mr. Cooper's schedule was early on where
we weren't quite sure,
you know, with that schedule, people didn't have the opportunity to give their evidence, so did they want to be recorded on specifically on the schedule? But as it happens, life has overtaken all of that, and, you know,
Okay, that's helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And
And did you think you'd go technical bobs, then planners, and then priorities?
I'm not. I'm relaxed. Am I? I would have thought. I had thought priorities could fit anywhere.
I think that's right.
So that could, but then realistically, technical, then planning. Yeah. The planners are picking up on
and
the technical.
I think that's right. Yes.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yes. And then priorities did have to sit somewhere. It might follow. It's part of the planning response.
Mm.
So depends where we get to with the scheduling.
I'm not sure that the priority issue, even with the workaround, falls out of that scheduling issue.
Oh, no, I understand what you're saying. It's a separate standalone issue, but it's an issue that will be being responded to by the planners.
Yeah.
So, insofar as they're here, that topic might then follow on.
Yes,
So,
which then tends to put TAs out till Thursday or Friday.
Yes, which...
Well, we've already got Monday, we've got Rising on Friday, aren't we? Yep.
Yes.
So how does Friday look for a TA case?
I had thought that the options were either Thursday or in the June week.
In the June week. We see, that's what I was talking to Mr. Cooper about, was an entire lift and shift, so we could actually have a proper run at the primary sector, you know, without being, you know, having to commit time and energy to this other thing. But there are, I'm persuaded there are better arguments against that.
The TAs are not going to be uncomfortable about being bounced out next week.
But you're looking uncomfortable about bouncing the TAs?
Yes. I'm just conscious that Mr. De Pelsmaker needs to produce his
reply. And I think that was one of the reasons going against it. We do need that reply.
So I'd very much like to have all of the evidence heard next week, and we'll do what we can to
let us see how you're placed on a Friday, and it may well be that we commence the TAs and run over to Friday. You know, the two witnesses that can't come Thursday, they can come Friday.
Well, I'll find out.
That would be good, and that would make it a short day. Cooper knows, has inside knowledge.
You're on this page,
Are they out for the whole week?
Well,
effectively.
Tuesday is the only.
We could squeeze them in on that Tuesday morning after we hear from Dr. Somerville.
Yeah, we could.
So, that might be the window.
So look to Tuesday morning.
Hmm.
I guess that might be up to Ms Irving, though, whether she's happy with that. But so we've got so witnesses to come are two from the TAs, possibly Tuesday morning. That's the only time that they're available. We've got Dr Somerville. We've got Dr Snowdy. I think he should at least be available just to answer any questions that the court might have or parties might have in cross-examination. And Mr Page and others, I mean, I'll get a minute out about this. Well, I already have got a minute out about this. I'll be just repeating myself. If people want to call reply evidence, they've got to ask for a direction. So the invitation's there. We've got Mr Curran on his dams, and we've got Mr Sheenard to come back. And we have, that's a lot for next week. And anyway, but the joint memo is going to be filed 9 o'clock tomorrow, so that's something. Actually, that's quite a few for next week, but okay, we shall do our best. Mr. Cooper will do his best. And we'll see how that goes. All right, anything else?
No, those were the matters of housekeeping, thank you.
Now, I know this is a shocking lapse of memory, but are you the only lawyer dealing with farmers? Have you got any other farmer lawyers? You know, actually, as farmers litigant.
Pastoral farmers, yes. Not horticultural farmers, no. Mr Reed is...
Oh, yeah.
And Mr Van Merle.
Van Merle, that's right. And then we've got sheep and beef, and sheep and lamb's got an advocate in there as well.
Ms. Ford, was it, from Port NZ?
That's Ms Atkins, I think.
Ms Atkins didn't present. She sent one of her other staff.
Yes, she did. She,
yeah, Ms Ford.
Mm. So all of this could affect them as well. You know, their priority issue will affect their client base as well. Hmm.
From my understanding, Mum, it doesn't affect Mr Vanello's client, and I didn't think it affected Mr Reed's client
either. Yeah, you might be right there, but there'll be some horticulturists where it does affect. Could you do me a favour and just contact those four anyway to say that... I mean, I'm happy for the opinion to be released, but subject to the embargo, it's not to be publicised until tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. That's when we'll uplift it. And you might, if you could just relay to them the discussion that we've had in court today. Yeah. Is that all right? Thank you, Mr. Page. All right. Anything else I need to do? I don't know that I need to release a minute, because I think my minute was good enough to, you know, for anybody wanted directions to get them in. And really, it's just now a lot of work for Mr. Cooper. And, and with confirmation that at least the two TA witnesses can come on Tuesday morning from you, Mr. Page, so if you can get that through to Mr. Cooper. Yep. How's that sound? Very good. All right, so now we truly are adjourned, like I thought yesterday, but we are actually adjourned now until Tuesday morning. Thank you.
Do you want
to please? And we'll distribute the opinion. Thank you. All rise.